Welcome back to Rebuilding Ruins, family. It's your girl, Amina. If you're new here, welcome in. This space is where we strip away the mask, confront the battles we're facing, and chase after real healing and real hope. Here we talk faith, warfare, grief, motherhood, restoration, the raw places, and the redeemed places. If you're looking for honesty, encouragement, practical wisdom, and the presence of God woven through every conversation, you're in the right place. Before we dig in, let's start with prayer. Father, I pray for every single person listening. I pray over their heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Father, I ask that the fragrance of your word will open up, wash, cleanse, and restore all the dry and empty places that are barren within us. Father, revive our hearts and our spirits. May our spiritual ears be opened, awakened, and aware to the truth, because it is your truth that sets us free. Amen. All right, guys, let's dig in. Today's episode is a call to arms, a spiritual battle cry for every daughter of God who has been living under depression, intimidation, fear, and oppression. When you're being taught how to attack your enemy with a weapon, the first thing after learning how to hold your weapon and use your weapon is this. You're instructed where to aim. Aim determines victory. Aim determines whether your enemy advances or is stopped. In physical warfare, you aim for the organs, the heart, the brain, places that disable your enemy. Anywhere that is vulnerable, that is where the enemy is going to attack. The enemy of our soul is no different. He aims for your heart. He aims for your mind. He aims for your identity. This is why Ephesians 6 commands us to put on the whole, full armor of God. Verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, not half, not pieces, but the full armor, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Ephesians 6, verse 12 describes the different levels of evil we will face. Rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Ephesians 6, verse 13, once again says, "Put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." And after you have done everything to stand, how many of us feel like we are in the crux of the day of evil? God repeats himself, because this is the difference between standing and falling, is making sure that we have the full armor of God on. And let's talk about women that have put their full armor on. In Judges 4, we learn of two powerful women who warred against evil. Deborah, who was a judge, a prophetess, a military strategist, and a mother in Israel. And then we learn about Jael, a humble nomadic wife armed with nothing but a hammer and tent peg. Their stories show us what spiritual women must be today. Deborah was unlike any other judge. First of all, she was the first woman judge, and she sat in a very significant location between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. This position is so prophetic. The palm tree is a symbol of triumph and victory. John chapter 12, verse 13 describes when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Deborah sat under a palm tree under the prophetic symbol of victory and triumph and peace. She governed from victory even while Israel was oppressed. She was standing in her full authority and identity, fully confident in the role that God put her in. Above all these titles of being a judge, being a prophetess, a military strategist, and a mother in Israel, she was first and foremost a daughter of the king. She operated from a place of divine authority. I love that when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, as they are waving these palm branches, he says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. daughter. He is establishing identity. And this is the place that Deborah operates from, a place of knowing her identity as a daughter. And from that place of identity, she can step into her divine authority. We also read in Judges chapter 4, verse 5, that she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. Ramah was a place marked by deep pain. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15 says, "A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." This prophecy was fulfilled when Herod slaughtered the infants. We read about that story in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. When Herod was furious at the wise men, he ordered the massacre of all baby boys under the age of 2. And this is where we see the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy verbatim. Ramah represents devastation, loss, upheaval, confusion, unhealed grief, tragedy so deep that it refuses to be comforted. Can you imagine the cries of so many mothers grieving the loss, the slaughter of their children? Many of us know this place all too well. Many of us are standing in this place. And opposite of Ramah, we see the other place in which she operated from was Bethel. This is a place of encounter, promise, revelation, and identity. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19, we read about how Jacob rested in this place that was formerly called Luz. He dreamed of a ladder that was connecting heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending. Above the ladder, he hears the Lord say, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac. I will give you and your descendants this land." This is the promise that is being released on Jacob. "Your descendants will be like dust of the earth. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I am with you." Another promise. "I will watch over you wherever you go." Another promise. "And I will not leave you." Jacob awoke and declared, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He renamed the place Bethel, meaning the house of God. Bethel represents encounter, revelation, promise, identity, inheritance. With Deborah being positioned between Ramah and Bethel, a place of lamentation and a place of revelation under a palm tree, representing victory and triumph. A place between loss and promise, between heartbreak and healing, between mourning and identity, between devastation and destiny. God is calling his daughters to that place, to stand in the gap with authority like Deborah. In Judges chapter 4, verse 6 through 9, Deborah tells Barak that God has commanded him to gather troops to the river Kishon, where the Lord will deliver Sisera into his hands. Well, Barak refuses to go unless Deborah comes with him. Deborah agrees, "Nevertheless, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." And this is where we meet Jael, the hidden warrior. In Judges chapter 4, we read that as Barak pursues Sisera, Sisera flees on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Jael welcomes him, comforts him, covers him, gives him milk instead of the water that he initially asked for. She listens to him as he tells her to stand guard and to lie for him. Then, when he sleeps, Jael takes a tent peg and a hammer and drives it through his temple all the way to the ground, and he dies. This ordinary woman, accustomed to setting up tents, used what was in her hands. God used her tools, her environment, her discernment, and her courage. As I was reading the story, I felt like the Lord was revealing to me the representation of what Sisera represents. He represents the enemy infiltrating our minds, coming in the guise of a friend, the lies that seek residence in our thoughts. False comfort, oppression, intimidation, generational bondage. In jail represents discernment, the refusal to negotiate, the woman who recognizes the true enemy. She's strategic and spirit-led and declares violence against the oppressor. Her hammer and tent peg symbolize truth driven into the head of her enemy. We are called to do the same. Many of us feel barren of the promises as we stay in Rhema that God speaks about in Scripture. Promises that we felt like God had spoken to us years ago, and we don't see it. It doesn't feel like it's ever going to come to fruition. In Isaiah chapter 54, it says, "Sing, O barren one, burst forth in song and shout for joy. Even in our barrenness, there is a call to still worship and make a declaration as if the promise has already been fulfilled." It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. This is a call to make preparation, to have expectation and expansion, making room for the promise that is to be fulfilled. But you cannot enlarge your tent until your stakes, your pegs are strengthened. And JL's peg symbolizes the truth that strengthens our dwelling. Many women today are living between the Rhema of grief, I know I am, and the Bethel of promise. But God is stationing his daughters under the palm tree of victory. We are the Deborahs who judge rightly, the mothers who arise in times of oppression, the strategists who hear the word of the Lord and know how to execute it. We need to stand in our full authority, that the JLs who take the hammer and peg to the lies that torment God's people. 1 John chapter 4 says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8 says the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. We carry resurrection power. We carry authority. We carry identity. We carry truth. We cannot defeat the enemy until we receive God's truth of his love. His love is deep, it's wide, it's constant, it's unconditional. We conquer, we have victory because he conquered. Despite the tragedy of my father's passing, I refuse to allow his story to be defined by how he exited this world. I honor the way he fought, the way he loved God, the way he sought truth, the way he desired the Lord. Now I carry not just my voice, but his as well. This is an urgent call. A trumpet from heaven is sounding. God is summoning his daughters, the Deborahs and the JLs, to rise. The enemy has run roughshod in your land for far too long. Whether it was through the means of bringing division to the family through divorce, whether it is a wayward child, whether it is infiltrating your relationships or your sanity, your finances, your health, you name it, and it has been attacked. Enough is enough. The enemy, like Sisera, has been bringing oppression and fear for far too long. But the women of God are rising with the palm tree of victory over their head. The revelation of Bethel before them and the remembered grief of Rhema behind them. The hammer and the tent peg of truth in their hands. This is the hour for women warriors to arise in this land. I would like to pray for anyone who is in a moment of Rhema, a moment of lamentation, a moment of lamentation and grief like myself, because I believe ahead of us awaits our Bethel moment, our moment of revelation, the moment of promise, the moment of the release of identity and divine authority. I want to pray that what you're facing, what you're going through, that you will be sustained in the fight. Deborah did not rise up in a time of comfort, in a time of security. She arose when she saw that village life ceased, that it ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. The time to rise is in the midst of chaos, the midst of oppression, in the midst of the confusion. Even when it feels like you have nothing left to offer, nothing left to give, the most powerful weapon you have is your testimony. The most powerful thing that you carry inside of you is your God. Revelation 12 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Your testimony is going to be what is going to be your triumph. This is your moment to pick up your tent peg. This is your tent peg. And this is your hammer. You know, as I have been navigating the grief with my father, I instantly, when I received that news, been shrouded with an immense amount of guilt, feeling disqualified and battling truth and not knowing what is the truth and what is the lie, feeling the weight of such a precious loss and constantly having thoughts of, you should have done this, you should have seen this, how come you were negligent, you know, you do not have the ability to discern. Everything was being warred against in my mind. And I came to a place where I was just letting these thoughts bombard me, and I just sat there coming into agreement with all of it. Like, yes, I know, I should have seen the signs, I should have been more present, I should have made myself more available. I'm a horrible daughter. I'm being really honest with you. I felt the Lord just scream, stop, stop. When you are stepping in situations that it feels like they're unredeemable, there is no way that restoration could ever happen. You know, death is very final. But can beauty come from ashes? Is that promise true? Is it true that joy can come from mourning? Is that true? Is it true that what we sow in tears, we will reap in joy? Is that true? Either God is a liar or he is the author of truth. So I had to come, and I still have to battle. Those thoughts still come to me. Anything can trigger me in a moment of grief. It comes and goes in waves. And sometimes the thoughts will come. The realization that I'm not going to see him on this side of heaven, it still stings. And you know, God will use my pain. I want him. I want God to be able to use my grief and my pain and my brokenness and my uncertainty and my inability to do things perfectly, but me still stepping out and just saying yes. God will use all of those things. He will use it all. It doesn't have to be perfect. He perfects us in the process. He doesn't wait for us to be perfected to use us. He uses the process, the broken process, that to perfect us, to mold us, to shape us. So if you're waiting to step out or to share your story or to operate in what the Lord has called you to do, if you're waiting for this moment for you to arrive to the spiritual destination, sometimes we won't arrive there until we step into what he has for us. Whatever realm he is calling you to step into, it is the realm he is, it is the jurisdiction he is giving to bring breakthrough to that region or to that people group. And so often we want to wait until we come out the other side. I know I did. I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to do this podcast. I'm disqualified. If I couldn't even save my own dad, if I couldn't even discern that, what right do I have to reach anybody else? And the Lord will use all of it for his glory. Don't wait. Whatever he's impressing, and you have to just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it is a time to step down, honor that. And maybe it's a time to advance and move forward, honor that. Wherever he wants to put you in the battle, do that. Do that and just honor what the Spirit is leading you to do. But whatever you do, do not retreat. Do not give up. Do not give in. Do not give in. Anything that is discouraging you, anything that feels like a weight, anything that makes you feel like standing still and laying down, is not from God. It's not his voice. He refers to himself as a shepherd that is gentle, a shepherd that is loving, a shepherd that carries us, that restores us. So if the voices in your head are not bringing restoration and hope and love, then those are not from God. And you have to take those thoughts captive and make it obedient to the scripture, even if you feel like you deserve to get beat around with those words. There are times where I feel like I deserve to relinquish, feel like I don't deserve to move forward or press forward. I feel like I deserve, but I have to pay a penance because of what happened to my dad. That's not what God wants. If those voices make you feel like you want to quit, it's not God. He wants us to know his nature, his character, his ways. The scripture says, so many people share this verse with me. He is near the brokenhearted. He binds their wounds. If you feel that in your brokenness, you are not being bound, you know, my daughter, she cut her foot and it was bad enough that we had to make a trip to the emergency room. The first thing we did when she cut her foot is we binded her wound to stop any bleeding and to stop any infection from getting to her foot. And we treated the wound. We cleansed it. We put, you know, antibiotic ointment on it. We bound it. That is the heart of God. He binds our wounds, so that infections of bitterness, infections of division, infection of discouragement does not get into the wound. Right now, I have an open wound with the loss of my dad. And if I don't go to the Lord and allow him to cleanse the wound, to put his healing power in it, to bind my wound, it will get infected with the lies of the enemy. And what happens to a wound that becomes infected, that is not being treated? It gets infected and it spreads to the rest of the body. And when the enemy is attacking here, he's attacking here. When he attacks us with discouragement, it starts in the mind, a vital organ, the heart, a vital organ. And then the infection spreads to our mouth where we don't want to speak anymore. The infection spreads to our hands where we don't want to do the will of the Lord anymore. The infection just begins to spread to where all we want to do is just lay down, just sleep. Let him bind your wounds. If you don't feel like you are in a process of healing, and it is okay. It is okay to have those honest, raw conversations with the Lord. Like, what are you doing? Why is this happening? Have those conversations. He is not going to, you know, shame you for wanting to have an honest dialogue with him about the true matters of what is going on in your heart. Take it all before him and let him. And when you have exhausted every breath in your body, trying to make sense of something that is senseless, whether you're going through divorce or you're struggling with a wayward child or you're struggling with, you know, your own mental health or a loss, the voice of the Lord screams, stop, stop, stop listening to the lies. Take your hammer and your tent peg and begin to release the sound of victory from your mouth. Sing, O barren one. Sing, O barren one. Lift up a shout. Release a song unto the Lord. Even if you don't see your promise, even if you don't feel it, get your life into alignment with the truth. Make room for it. Enlarge the tent pegs of your heart. We have to command our circumstances to come into agreement with the truth. We do not have to come into alignment with our circumstances that are trying to pull us into agreement with discouragement and despair and hopelessness. So, Father, I pray for every war torn sister that is in the midst of her rhema moment, in the midst of despair and grief and hopelessness. Father, I pray that you would appeal to their heart. Shout with a mighty voice that says, stop. When the enemy comes in like a flood, raise a standard of truth in these sisters' hearts and minds. Lift the standard in these women. The enemy has come to our homes. He has infiltrated our lives. You have given us authority over regions that he has crossed. I ask that you would cover these women with your wings, that they will know your name, that they will see the victory of their God in the land of the living, that they will not be put to shame. I ask that you would gird them with your truth. You would place upon them the breastplate of righteousness, that they would be confident in their right standing with you. That you would place on them the helmet of salvation and put in their hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and place on their feet the shoes of peace of the gospel. For your word is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Break through with a voice that is mighty like thunder, that will silence the lies of the enemy. Make all wrong thinking right. Every area that the enemy has been infiltrating in your heart and in your mind, I command it to retreat and go back in the name of Jesus. Every lie that is spoken to every sister, we cancel it. We command you to be silent in the name of Jesus. If there are lies that you are believing, take this time to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what it is that you are coming into agreement with. Like I just shared, there was so many thoughts coming in my mind, one right after the other. How could you do this? How could you allow this? How come you didn't reach out more? How come you weren't more present? How come you weren't more available? Get there and let those words just run me down, run me down, run me down to come out of agreement. Lord, you are faithful and just. You forgive me. You cleanse me. You said you redeem. You said you restore. You said you give beauty for ashes. You said you give joy instead of mourning. You said. You know what? You know, when I would read scripture, I would just kind of read it as if just crossing something off of my checklist. Okay. I did it so I could ease my conscience. You know, the Lord has been working on me. Don't just read it. This is to divide. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. We need to, when we are reading the word of God, we need to allow it to penetrate, even to dividing our soul and our spirits, joints and marrow. It is judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is the work, the word of God. We need to, don't just read it to just cross it off your to-do list and ease your conscience and say, okay, I read my Bible today. You know, okay, I'm guilty of it sometimes, honestly. And he wants us to read it from a place that's like, okay, Lord, let's your word divide. Let it circumcise. This is like something that has to be a detailed surgery of our heart, where it can judge the thoughts and attitudes of our heart, because the lies that infiltrate, we need the word of God to judge those thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts so that we know which step to take or what step not to take. And more importantly, who we are. Who we are is under attack in every facet. I want to declare this over you, over myself. You know, take this time to invite the Holy Spirit into this space and ask him to reveal all the wrong thinking, because we need to be able to discern the truth from the lies in our own mind. Just as Sisera commanded Jael to stand at the doorway of the tent and not allow anyone in there and lie to anybody who was asking for him, the enemy wants us to be in allegiance with him. He wants us to keep truth from coming in. The truth of our identity, the truth of who God is, the truth that will set us free. We have to evict all those lies from our mind. We have to silence them the way JL did and allow the healing power of the Holy Spirit to do a cleansing work in us, to heal our mind, to be renewed and strengthened for the battle that we are currently in. I declare that no weapon formed against you or your family will prosper. I cancel every assignment that the enemy has sent forth to bring destruction and chaos in your life, in your families, in Jesus' name. I want to declare this verse over you before we close. For Zion's sake, God will not hold his peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, he will not rest until your righteousness goes forth as brightness and your salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You will be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You will no longer be termed forsaken, nor will your land any more be termed desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Your labor will be your reward. No more will you labor for someone else to take what's yours. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the people. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call you the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You hold on to that truth. So when the enemy comes at you with a flood of lies, you say, no, I am redeemed. I am not forsaken. I am a royal diadem in the hand of my God. You see everything that you have put all your efforts being poured in to your home, to your finances, into your children, and you're just wondering why does it seem like all of the effort and the hard work that I have put into my family, into building something, why does it seem like it's crumbling? No more. You declare that verse. No more. No more will my grain go to my enemy. No more will everything that I have labored for go to the enemy. No more. Everything that we pour into our marriage, into our children, into our home, into, you know, everything that we have labored for will go back to us. Just continue to declare what the Lord says. I will not be termed desolate or forsaken. I am the one whom the Lord delights in. I am a woman with promises that will be fulfilled.
if not in my generation, then my children's generation. Everything that you have worked through, everything that I have contended for, the fruit will manifest in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining me today on Rebuilding Ruins. If this message blessed you, please like, comment, subscribe, and share it with someone who needs to hear this battle cry. Let the Deborahs arise. Let the JLs take up their hammers, and may the Spirit of the Lord empower you to rebuild the ruins in your life. Love you guys, and be blessed.